On Tuesday, if you were on the road at any point, you may have noticed that there was an unusual amount of traffic. Or at least this was the case for me, from Yardley to Pennington, from my home to where I need to drop Tobias off for daycare. And therefore, for my parents in the room, you all know this scene already. As you can imagine, there was also an unusual amount of angst and antsiness coming from the toddler in the back seat. You can picture the scene. "Do you want your monkey?" I asked, excitedly waving a life-size Curious George into the back. "No." "Do you want your monster?" A small trinket that is typically pined for. "No." This went on and on while I prayed a bargaining and promising prayer that I don't actually believe in, but anything to make the traffic go. And then, "What's that, Mommy?" In one last desperate search for something, for anything, Tobias saw me pull my round wooden chalice from my bag, the one that Roy had mentioned just a moment ago, the one similar to the one many of you were given when you joined this congregation, or that has been made for you in recent years. For 4 years, this wooden chalice has been tucked into my briefcase, awaiting a perfect home given to me during my candidating week when I had hoped to join this congregation too. "It's my chalice," I told him and handed it to the reaching toddler who held it first curiously and then knowingly. "It's church," he said. Tobias held the chalice in his hands. "It's rough," he said, "and smooth." "It's a circle," he continued. "There are pieces missing," he pointed out, placing his fingers in the crevices that made wood into the symbol of our faith. "Yes, it is all of those things," I told him. "It is rough and smooth, and I thought of how hard it is to be both of those things, how demanding it is on the heart to find beauty in a space and a people when there are so clearly rough spots, too. It's a circle. There are pieces missing. Yes, my love, we are incomplete as much as we are whole, as individuals and as a community." From my mirror, I watched my young son's small hands trace the symbol of his given faith, and I thought of Raleigh, and I thought of Roy. I thought of the many hands that make this place possible, that make this place more than a building or an organization, more than words on a banner or in a pamphlet about who we want to be. I thought about who we are. And then, because the traffic wasn't moving us any faster, I prayed another desperate prayer that he'd one day choose all of those truths, the smooth and rough realities, the incomplete spaces even within a wanted circle, all of this messy tradition. I so want him to want it for himself. And not because I have chosen this path and therefore think it is the right thing for my child, but because when I think about Unitarian Universalism and when I think about why I believe there is goodness in the world or people who are earnestly trying in the world, and when I need a clear example of how people and institutions and hearts can change and make change and want still to do more, or when I am grieving, or when I'm celebrating, I think of you all. I want to be with you all. I want for my children to have some experience that is akin to the effort of the heart and mind and spirit that I know among you, especially if their world as young people or adults looks anything like the one they have been born into. We are on a cusp today, with legs sturdily in one world and the body leaning over the edge into the other, peering to see what the jump might require. Today we launch two financial campaigns, one our annual stewardship campaign and the other a not at all yearly but once in a generation capital campaign. two worlds. One of stability and health that is already a part of who we are, who we know ourselves to be. In recent years, we have not just balanced budgets, but we have committed ourselves to long-articulated needs that for too long were left undone. We have grown our reserves so that each month we can feel that much more secure in our future. We have set and met aspirational budgets that have made us a teaching congregation, that have allowed us to continue to give away 50% of our plate each week. We have brought in outside speakers and new curricula that has, in no uncertain terms, changed our lives. And we have seen the fruit of generosity that is not about what is enough to make this place happen, but generosity that imagines what it can be. I go into this season, into this morning, with trust and confidence that this year will be no different. In too many congregations, my colleagues are having to convince their people that financially affirming the place in which they find a restful place to land, a hopeful word to take home each week, a place to raise our children with not only sanity but bravery too, a place to put our fears into some kind of concrete, engaged action, the place that will memorialize you and hold your family and loved ones in the same way that you are held in love today, that this is not only worth your time and your talents, those of course, yes, but also your treasure. I trust we already know this to be true, so I'm not going to say much more about that. But there is this other world, ripe like soil after a spring rain. There are vibrations all around, seeds cracking open, roots still strong, but now also color and life reaching outward beyond the stable ground. Perhaps it's an unfair image, to be honest, since I don't believe that seeds or stems have much choice in the matter but to grow. Whereas this capital campaign, this choice to grow into our commitments to our elders and how they can move throughout the building as age changes the body but not wanting for connection, to our children and how they can learn in the spaces in which the I am Unitarian Universalist, where that is created, grow in our commitments to our work and our connection and our spiritual deepening, because let me remind you, there isn't a classroom available if you wanted it today. All of that growth for us is a choice. Throughout the country, religious America is in decline. If I have to read one more article about how to get someone my age to come to church, we have the global we, it is said, we have lost trust in institutions and lost trust in leadership and have built a defensive skepticism about any and every word that is published or preached. We are moving through the world with shoulders up to our ears and forgetting to breathe in fear that if we let down our guard just for a moment, we will be fooled again. I don't know how people do it. Talk about a theme on balance. I don't know how they don't have a place like this to show them, to ingrain in them that it could be otherwise. Here we tell a world that is desperate to push people apart that our trial is finding a place in which we will connect. Here, without a word of marketing, this community of all ages has grown again. We ache to figure out how to make sure each of you knows how important you are, how valued, loved, wanted. We don't want you to get lost in the sea of energy that is this place. Here, I am honest with you, and I trust you. I believe this place is yours to mold and move, and I want to help make that happen. Last Sunday at the Faith Forward Q&A with the minister, Joe Schenck asked me what my plan was for this congregation. I answered, sort of, but I also ended that time by reminding the group that this should be the question too. What is your plan for this congregation? I trust you. And I believe you trust me to honor the heart of this place, to remember who we are, even as we are learning who we are becoming. And if you look around the room and you think of those who hold other positions of leadership throughout this congregation, I believe you trust them too, even as we discover the missing pieces, even when we realize the circle isn't complete. This is not nothing. To come to a place in which trust is a foundational part of our relationship, where you believe the work being done is with good, earnest, and aspirational intentions, where you are encouraged to breathe and do so with people who are also striving, grieving, collecting hope, piece by piece, unlearning and learning, trying to do that same essential task that is before all of us of being human together. This is not nothing. We need more spaces like this. We need to choose to sustain and choose to grow spaces like this. Now, for us specifically, that will mean creating more space in which to gather. It means continuing the long slog of permits and surveys that will one day fix our parking and fix our relationship with our neighbors. A long slog that, because it was started 3 years ago and continues, will allow for all other projects to move forward with relative speed and swiftness. We need to fix structural concerns, and I cannot emphasize this enough. They will get addressed somehow, but without concentrated funds, like, they are likely to come out of a salary that could otherwise serve as connective tissue among a growing congregation. What kind of salary you might be imagining? Membership volunteer coordinator comes to mind. The position that the UUA and member congregations everywhere say that is the position that is needed in order to maintain or grow a growing congregation, one that helps people who love the family feel of what was once their congregation still feel connected and like a family, no matter how many people gather together. A position that we could have next year if our annual funds come in a little bit more than they did last year. We need to make sure folks within our community who want to go to the Crossings Room for fellowship can do so with ease and without having to travel outside for the ramp in cold and rainy weather. You know that I could go on. But more than anything else, we just need to let the reins of this place fall loose. We need to let them catch the speed of the wind at our backs and move with urgency, but also joy, into a world that, despite the signs and studies, calls for our participation within it. We need to imagine small hands holding not only the symbol of our faith, but the workings of it, holding something that we have given them and that they will want to choose, because of how we nourished it, how we made it grow in depth and in purpose, because of how we envisioned not only this place for ourselves, but for them also. It is a gift for the next generation, who will one day hear, I hope, a sermon on having outgrown the gifts of those who came before. A few weeks ago, Andy Hamlin, our capital campaign consultant, shared how he and his wife were depleted after another day of listening to the news. And she turned to him and said, "Who is going to do something about this?" Andy, who has only met with those in committee meetings, yes, those who light a chalice before each meeting, but who are talking about parking and permits and that slog and mud that I've already referenced, he hasn't come to a service before. He doesn't know what I say or what we teach our kids in religious education. He hasn't sat through a chalice circle or soul matters, but do you know what he said? You know those people at UUCWC? They're doing something about it. So this is my elevator speech for the morning. Rather than a quick sentence or two to describe who and what we are, I invite you to picture an elevator in this space. And I would like for you to picture not only what that would look like, but what that would feel like and what that would do for those in this space who need it or who will. Those who can't come to this space because we don't have it. Those we love. You. I no longer want to talk about what I believe. I want to talk about what I believe in. And I believe in our dreams here of building the beloved community, and our knowledge that this can't be done in places that don't meet our needs or reflect how we envision ourselves. I believe in our weariness, not of the world, but of being asked to do only the least of what we can. I believe in each of you. And I trust that we will have another joyful, fruitful, worthy of celebration and pride stewardship campaign. And I so look forward to adding your financial affirmation to the almost $600,000 that have already been raised as of this morning toward our capital campaign. Are your stomachs flipping like mine? I'm going to assume that that silence was awe and taken aback, and so I'm just going to say that one more time so that we can greet that with applause. And John, make sure this part is recording. $600,000 that has already been raised as of this morning. This place has a beauty that is both gentle and smooth, but it also has rough spots. And we are striving to make those places places of learning, growth, and purpose. It is incomplete. It is whole. I believe in it. And I believe you do too. May it be so, and blessed be.